We've been in this Galatians chapter 5, looking at what God said about we saw the freedom and salvation in verses 1 through 12. Then we saw the failure of sin, verses 13 down to verse 21. And now we see the fruit of the Spirit in this last part of this chapter, verse 22 down to verse 26. We saw the key verse of this chapter was verse 7, where it says, "You did run well, but who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth?" Now, some of you at one time was doing a great thing for God. Now the FBI is hunting you.
Come on.
Some of you used to live for Jesus, pray every day. He's wondering when you're going to start back.
Come on.
And it's not a New Year's resolution you need to make.
Right.
It's a daily one. You got to die daily and do that.
Right.
We're going to begin reading out at verse 24. And as we look in the Word of God, I want to say to the choir, you've done a great job this morning. Special singing was great. Verse 24 says, "And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." As we look in the Word of God at these few verses this morning, as we close out chapter 5, I want to preach to you on being in the Spirit. In the Spirit. Not by the Spirit. In the Spirit. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we do love you. And God, we thank you today, Lord, for letting us be here and be alive. Lord, what a privilege and honor and blessing it is to be in the house of God today. And Lord, while we're here, we pray, God, that you'll use this time together, Lord God, to be instructed from the Word of God. And we pray for our understanding. Psalm 119, verse 18, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." We pray according to James chapter 1, verse 22, that we'd be doers of the Word, not just hearers only, deceiving our own selves. That God, we'd take what we hear, that you'd help us understand it and apply what needs to be applied to our life. And Lord, I pray you'd help me today, especially as I preach. Lord, this might be my last time preaching. I want to go out well. And I pray, God, you'd help me to preach according to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And God, that you'd bring all this to pass according to your perfect will for us. In Jesus' precious name we pray and for his sake. Amen.
Amen.
As we look towards the Word of God today, I see that it says "in the Spirit" twice there in verse 25. And the word "in" literally talks about to be inside. And what we find out is that God, when we got saved, baptized us into the body of Christ by the Spirit of God. And the proper translation for that word "in" is the word "in," because we're in Christ and we're in Christ by the Holy Spirit of God.
Right.
I've noticed a lot of people trying to take that Greek word "en" and make it mean something else and say "by," but those folks are not consistent. They'll lie to you about something. That Greek word "en" is translated "by," "in," "around," and "through," and all kind of other places in the Bible. So we can't, listen, just because you don't like the King James Bible don't give you liberty to start changing it where you want to.
Amen.
But I notice he said we live in the Spirit. Let us also walk in the Spirit. And those literally are instructions about the Spirit-filled life. If you look back up at verse 22, when we ask God to fill us with a Spirit, he brings this about in our life. We look at this past week. Love, joy, peace. What are those? Those are things God will do inside you that are filled with the Spirit of God. He points out the next three, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. Where are those? Those go outward to the folks you deal with in life. They come from God, not you. They're fruit of the Spirit. Then he says faith, meekness, and temperance. What are those? They go upward. They go to God. They're Godward. And what they do is those three things, listen, that's how we communicate and believe God, and God has control over us. And he does all nine of them things at the same time. These are not virtues that you work on. These are things that God does in one fatal sweep called the fruit of the Spirit. When you ask God to fill you with his Spirit, when you start your day, you're asking God, you're allowing God to take control of you and work nine things in you that you can't produce on your own.
Right.
I've heard people say, "I'm working on my love." You ain't got nothing to work on. Love comes from the Father above. It don't come from us.
Right.
Our hearts are deceitfully and desperately wicked. Who can know it save I the Lord? Jeremiah 17.
Right.
And listen, if our heart's that black and that dark and that wicked, if there's ever anything that's like love come out of you, it has to come from God. I see he points out in these verses in 24, 25, and 26, he gives us basic instructions about that spirit-filled life. A lot of folks are not familiar with a spirit-filled life, and I want to suggest this by just saying it, that they're not familiar with a spirit-filled life because they've never, never been in the Spirit of God ever. See, you can make a profession of faith without the Spirit of God. People do it all the time. There's a lot of folks that speculate and say things and do things, but you can say a prayer. You can say a prayer in Jesus' name. You can say all that and do that without ever getting saved.
Yeah.
Because it's not a prayer that saves somebody. God Almighty said in Jeremiah 31, "With loving kindness have I drawn thee." Jesus said in John 6, verse 44, "No man cometh to the Father except he's drawn." How's he drawn? By the Spirit of God.
Right.
See, God sent His Spirit here, the Holy Spirit of God, to deal with sinners, to reprove the saints, and to remind the devil where he's headed to at all times. And as we look in the Scriptures, and He points out in verse 24, if we live in the Spirit, our first instruction is this. When you get saved, you've been placed in the Spirit of God. Now it's not so much you're carrying Him everywhere you go. He's carrying you.
Right.
And if you look down at verse 24, he said, "They that are Christ have crucified the flesh." Well, I noticed that word crucified is past tense. It said it's an already done deal. It's already happened that we have crucified the flesh. How'd we do that? Look over at chapter 2, verse 20. The Bible says over there, "I am crucified," past tense, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me," and it says, "and gave himself for me."
Right.
I'm glad, thank God, when he was crucified, I got crucified with him.
Right.
When he died for my sins, when with my sin on him, he died and he took all on him.
Yeah.
I notice that if we see he's crucified the flesh, and he points out with the affections and the lusts. Those affections are the things that you set your heart on. They're on your mind right now. Are they career or thing oriented or a car or something or some kind of something? And your affections are set on those things. But he said, that flesh has been crucified. God never intended on you sitting around having affections and passions for stuff. He never intended you to sit around and do anything like that and have something like that distract you from the spirit-filled life. A lot of people have mistaken Christianity for a religion. They say, "Well, my religion's Christianity." Or like most of them in the paper, "My religion's a Baptist."
Mm-hmm.
Or a Baptist whatever they put in the obituary.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the bottom line. Are you in the Spirit? Because if you're in the Spirit, you live in the Spirit. Can I suggest to you today that, and you look at the Word of God and tell me if I'm right or wrong, but when he says live in the Spirit, that's not an option that you can turn on or off like a faucet of water.
No.
You either is or you ain't.
Right.
And I look in the Word of God and I see this. He said if, that condition, if we live in the Spirit. The sad part about life is this. Not everybody that tells me what they voted this past election voted that way. I caught the news people lying the other day. You know what they lied about? They said, "Look at there. There's President Clinton. There's President Carter. There's President Bush. And the other Bush wasn't there." And they said, "There's President Obama," all on that platform. And they said none of which voted for our current president. And I got to thinking about that. They don't know that. I don't know who you really voted for. I never heard anybody tell me they went in the voting booth, had to put their social security number in before they could push that button.
Come on.
Right.
So nobody knows who anybody voted for. And if you think a politician in Washington told you who he voted for and he told you the truth, you better check up, friend, because they're known for lying about stuff.
Yeah.
I promise you this, if the next 2 years everything go well, they're going to all say they voted for him. Say amen right there.
Oh.
Listen, they all going to get a red tie.
That's right.
They all going to get one. They're going to say, "Oh yeah, I support him from the beginning."
Yeah. Come on.
Yeah, you did. Listen here. He said, if we live in the Spirit. Here's something that you may not understand, but I'm going to try to help you with this thing. If we live in the Spirit, that instruction refers to the fact of your basic core fact of salvation. See, these people that say, well, we need a second or third blessing spirit. No, you got to get this one. This is it.
Yeah.
If we live in the Spirit, how do we get there? You got put there. The Bible talks about us being baptized into Christ by the Spirit of God. And if you get saved, that's where you get in on the thing at. You live in the Spirit. Keep that in mind the next time you walk your feet towards something that you shouldn't be walking towards. When your eyes gaze upon something you shouldn't look at. When your hands handle something you shouldn't handle. Keep all of that in mind when your mouth starts talking about things it shouldn't talk about and your ears start hearing things it shouldn't. Keep that in mind that you're in the Spirit. Hey, if you saved it all, you're doing that whole thing with Jesus Christ. Look at this thing. He said, if we live in the Spirit, he said, well, it'll crucify the affections and lust thereof. Hold your place here. I'm going to show you something. Look over at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. We're going to come right back to Galatians. Romans chapter 8. Look down at verse 9. Here's what happened to a Christian. He says in verse number 9, it's a cross-reference to that verse over there in Romans chapter 8, verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Here's that word again. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So I see that he says, you're not in the flesh. Why? Well, that's been crucified with its affections, with its lusts thereof. You and I are in the Spirit of God. And if we're in the Spirit of God, God says this. What does he make mention of there? Look at it. He said, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you.
Right.
If he dwells in you, you're dwelling in him.
Right.
He goes with you wherever you go. Whenever you talk, he's listening to everything you say. Whatever you run across your mind, he's thinking it with you. Hey, if we live in the Spirit, he said this thing though, but if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. When they come up to me and tell me they got this spirit that wants to make them swing on the chandeliers and flip and flop like they're having a seizure, I say quit making fun of people having seizures.
Right.
Amen.
That's ridiculous. Ever since I saw somebody have a seizure when I was in junior high, I saw this poor girl have a seizure one time and they had to stop and do all these things for her. And I saw that. And when somebody started doing all this foolishness right here, I thought, dear God, no, you mock people when you do that stuff. And try to say that things of God. Look here. He points out, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you are none of His. There's a reason why a lot of people can't walk in the Spirit. They don't have Him.
Yeah.
They've made a profession of faith, but they've never accepted Christ as their Savior. They trusted a prayer, not a person. They trusted their good works instead of His finished work. But back over in Galatians chapter 5, he said, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Our instructions are to live in the Spirit of God. And I noticed that thing. If you look, hold your place there and look over at 1 Peter chapter 2. Go to your right from where you're at, 1 Peter chapter 2. There's a thing about that God's too plain on to miss it. 1 Peter chapter 2, if you look down at verse 11, here's what the Bible says. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. He tells us about what happens with that stuff. Dearly beloved, he says, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. There's always going to be a conflict when that flesh is longing after that stuff. But you got to remember that flesh has been crucified. What does that tell me? That tells me I've got power over it. It ain't got power over me no more. No more will I have to say this. Well, I've done that sin. I just couldn't help myself. You know why? I can.
Right.
Got power, got victory over it. More than conquerors through Him that loved us. And those things war against the soul, but they can't win over the soul. Why? Because the Spirit of God's there. And if we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Our instructions are to live in the Spirit of God. To walk in victory. Don't walk in defeat. Don't listen. If you get to the point where you say, I don't know how to do that, get up every day, ask God to fill you with His Spirit. Ask Him to forgive. forgive you of your sins, and you want to be filled with the Spirit of God, and you want Him to take the wheel, amen, and let Him start driving around in you, and let Him show you how to live in the Spirit. If you want an example of living in the Spirit, read the Gospels. They tell how Jesus Christ lived in the Spirit of God. They tell us, listen, when you look in the Scriptures and you see Him, watch what He did. Follow Him. He is the leader. He is the great shepherd. And we come to the Scriptures, we find out that as our great shepherd, He done the first example. He lived in the Spirit first. So I don't know about that. Let me tell you something. When Jesus walked up to the tomb of Lazarus, He didn't walk up there and say, Lazarus, come forth. He went up there and prayed first. And if it's important enough for He does something, He prays, how much more important is it for you and I to pray in the Spirit of God and to live in the Spirit of God and let the Lord do that by His Spirit for us? It's not by might nor by power, saith the Lord, but by my Spirit. That's how He gets the job done. You ever seen somebody live what you thought was a Christian life and tell you how they done it? They done it by living in the Spirit of God. The affections and lusts thereof crucified, they're put to the side. They no longer have the victory over the person. Why? Because the Spirit of God's got victory over them.
Yeah.
Notice this thing He says in Galatians chapter 5 again. He said, if we live in the Spirit, verse 24, let us also walk in the Spirit. There's not only living in the Spirit, but there's also walking in the Spirit. Living in the Spirit's how you, when you get saved, God placed you there. And walking in the Spirit's when you choose to follow Him every day. Now, there was a time and place in my life, I remember a fella saying something. He was fixing to go get into a mess, and he got to praying. He said this. He said, Lord, I'm fixing to go do something that I need forgiveness for before I do it. And when I go do this thing, I want you to forgive me ahead of time so I don't get in trouble while I'm there. That's not how you walk in the Spirit.
Right.
That's reasoning with yourself. It sounds good. Well, God does forgive people. I mean, I've seen some people that needed their nose bloodied. Hadn't you? I say, God uses people. I could be the people God uses. You know, you think stuff like that, but it's not right.
That's right. Amen.
That's not walking in the Spirit of God. People tell me, they say, well, I just can't live the Christian life. God never called you to live the Christian life. He called you to live in the Spirit.
Right.
Let the Spirit of God live the Christian life.
Yeah.
Every failure you have in your life that towards the Lord is where you don't live in the Spirit. And that second instruction, where you don't walk in the Spirit.
Right.
If you ever wonder why you can't do certain things and why you get to a point where you say, I'm not capable, it's because you're not. But He is.
Right.
That's why when you read a verse in the Bible, says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. He does that by the Spirit of God. When you walk in the Spirit, He's doing that thing right there by the Spirit of God. And it's an instruction. He wants us to walk daily with Him. Our journey with Jesus does not end at 12 o'clock.
Right.
It don't end at 12 o'clock tonight. It ends when we get to heaven and we're there sitting with Him in the throne room of God and shouting and praising Him on.
Yep.
While we're here on this earth, our instruction is plain. Let us also walk in the capital S Spirit.
Right.
How are we going to do that? We're going to just get and find a Spirit, a book that's got a Spirit in every word that's infallible, inerrant, inspired, God-breathed, the infallible God in every word, the plenary, verbal, inspired Word of God. It's by the Spirit of God. And we take this book, and the Spirit of God in us teaches us what the Spirit of God wrote here, and He applies that thing to us, and we're able to walk in the Spirit. You will never be able to walk in the Spirit by not taking in the spiritual food that you need every day of your life. That spiritual food is the Scripture. We're to read it. Listen, He said, blessed is he that readeth and they that keep the words of this book. Hey, He said, listen, memorize this book. Why? It's a lamp unto my feet and a light in my path. It'll help me to not sin against God. But if I find somebody that's a Christian and they're saved and they love the Lord and they get in the mess, I know what happened. They're not walking in the Spirit.
Right.
Listen to me, Christian. You got to walk in the Spirit. That means that your plans are secondary. His plans are primary. That lets me know that when I walk in the Spirit, now I've got an obligation towards God Almighty to follow what He wants me to do and to quit trying to run the show.
Right.
I get in so much trouble with myself and with God because I think I know what's best and I try to help God out. God doesn't have a help wanted sign out.
Right.
He don't put one of them out. He's not looking for help. He walks and talks along the way, and He's wanting followers to follow Him and to walk in the Spirit of God. When the false Bibles say walk by, he doesn't want you to walk by him. He wants you to walk in the Spirit. Why? That's protection. And you don't realize how much protection you need in a day. There, listen, outside of what you can see, if God pulled back the curtains on this world and let us see what wanted to get to us, boy, we'd be scared to death and wouldn't be able to walk out of the house.
Right.
I had somebody tell me one time, so they pulled a little microscope thing up, put one of them little drops of something on it, and said, look in there. And I looked in that thing. It looked like Godzilla and King Kong and Ultraman was all having a fight with a three-legged monster and something else. I said, what in the world is that? They said, that's the water you're drinking. I went about an hour and didn't drink none. But them things are so small, they can't hurt you. That's what they told me. I hope so. Well, preacher, I only drink the water comes out of the spring. That's where this come from, I'm telling you about. It wasn't the tap water they showed me. It's Broad River. So that don't come to my house. If you got a faucet, it does.
What? Come on.
So no, you don't understand. I understand perfectly. Listen, unless you got a well, that well's got to come under that ground. That river water comes somewhere too. They all come from the same place.
Yeah.
And I know this. If I'm going to trust a bottle of water that I'd be okay with that, surely I can trust God to take care of me through little things
right.
like that, right?
Right.
Some of you doubting where you ever drink water again. Listen. Listen to me. If we took a drop of your blood and laid it up here and let you see what was in that, that'd scare you to death.
Come on.
But see, we're not up here trying to magnify the little things. We're looking at the very simple thing of walking instruction in the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
It's a daily walk.
Right.
And when we walk in the Spirit of God in verse 26, he says this. It's instruction about it. Let us not be desirous of vainglory. I got to thinking about that word vain. Solomon says that stuff over in Song of Solomon, Ecclesiastes and stuff. And I got to thinking about something. The word vain is talking about something that's empty. I can look at that word about vainglory and he tells us not to be desirous of it. That's when people want to have a pat on the head and say, that's a good job. Attaboy. I know you women don't like that to mess up your hair, but I don't care. Atta girl. Good job. Don't be desirous of that.
Right.
The Bible tells us in the book of Colossians, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all unto who? The Lord.
Right.
So we're not looking on the pat on the head on this side of the grave. We get rewarded for what we did for him on the other.
Sure. Yeah.
I find people who are desirous of vain glory, they like to steal God's glory more than anything else they do.
Yeah.
So who would do that? Probably any quartet you've heard in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
Probably the majority of Christians that are saying they're doing God's work are trying to get God's glory instead.
Right.
And it's going to come up as an empty tank at the end of life. Because that stuff is vain. You can't have it.
Right.
Don't be desirous of that empty, vain glory that comes when people comes up and tells you, oh, you the best thing since sliced bread. You the cutest one since Mickey Mouse. I don't buy it.
Right.
Been called fat before by people that talk nice to me. They'll turn on you on a dime.
Yep.
Vote me in as pastor and call me fat at the back door. Bless your heart. I only point that out for one reason. I'm fatter now than I used to be, amen. And I've got something figured out about all this. When you walk in the Spirit, people don't have to take notice. In fact, you will probably go unnoticed most of the time. If you're seeking to get glory because you're walking in the Spirit, you've already failed in that thing. It don't work like that. We want God to get all the glory. If sinners come down the aisle of the church aisle and they come and say, I want to be saved. We don't want to say, boy, I preached that message as I was bringing her around towards the back end of it. I started hooking them out. I have no idea how some of that stuff works. I just know this. If God's dealing with you, I'd read Mary Had a Little Lamb, you under conviction. And the very message I say, boy, that'll get them right there. They don't listen. They don't tell about that one where they preach that I know I had them right there and they just wouldn't come, which is 99% of them. See, one plants, one waters, and God gives the increase. You know why that's like that? So we can't get His glory. A lot of people in this day and age are trying to steal God's glory by stealing God's numbers. We read the other day of a missionary said he won 500 of Jesus in 1 hour. Well, my goodness, you've won more than Jesus Christ won his probably entire earthly ministry. That or you're lying. I watched the video, he's lying. Just because somebody does this don't mean they got saved, by the way.
Right.
Just because somebody says, oh, we've had this revival, we are wide open, and we extending it out and extending it out. If you're not walking in the Spirit, you're pursuing vainglory.
Right.
So how do you know when somebody has revival? When the beer joint closes down. When Butch's has to close down here because all his customers are in these churches around here, and they repented, they poured out their liquor, they said, we're not going back to the beer joint. When they close 4th Street Bar down, they close 6th Street Bar down, and they go over there and they say, you know what, this nightclub is no more because we ain't got nobody to come be in a club with us no more because they all got saved and they quit drinking. That's walking in the Spirit. That's revival. For somebody to come along and say, our church done that is a joke. You're stealing God's glory. God will never let it happen that way.
Yeah.
I notice he points out, let us not be desirous of vainglory. And he says two other things, provoking one another and envying one another. You'll never find somebody that's filled with the Spirit of God, that's walking in the Spirit of God, that's trying to provoke another Christian by lying to them to get them to lie. Some of you are going to go to dinner today and you're going to be confronted with people that's going to tell you, we is running 100 today. We had to set out cheers. You like that, don't you? Cheers. We had to set out them cheers and we had to do this, and it took a C&I dog to get out of the place. It was so good. You go back, one of their members accidentally shot a picture they didn't know about. There's 15 there. So how'd that happen? I don't know, but your 100 net 15s, that's 85 different. Amen.
Right.
People have come up to me and say, I was at a church, me and Brother Red walked to church one time, we was talking to this fella, asked him, what's he say? You know what he said? He said, I don't know. I don't think I am. I said, well, would you like to get saved? He said, well, I'd like to. He said, but, and he got to make an offer. Before I could even talk, he'd have had every excuse under the sun. And then the pastor came up and said, you met this guy? I said, yeah, we just met. He said, he got saved here a few weeks ago. He's been on fire for God. And I looked at that guy and I looked at him. I thought, are we talking about the same guy here?
Yeah, really.
Because this guy you're talking about, he can't be standing right here because he just said he wasn't.
Yeah.
Don't be trying to provoke people by telling them about your converts.
Right.
You know what happens to my converts? They all wind up back in the hell hole. Because Jesus didn't convert them, I did.
Come on.
My converts. Mm-hmm. If they're Jesus' converts, they'll come out of the hellhole. If they mind, they go right back in it.
Yep.
That's what we're trying to provoke one another. What are you trying to do? You're trying to let people know you're running more than somebody else? Big deal. Can I let you in on a tiny, tiny little secret? Jesus ran 12, and one of them was a devil.
Yeah.
In one message, 5,000 men walked off. One message. You know why they left? Homecoming dinner was over with.
Right.
He fed them and out the door they went.
Yeah.
Having big homecoming, 5,000 show up next week. Who's there? 12.
Come on. Yeah.
And one of them sitting there saying, if we go over where Lazarus is, we're going to die too.
Yeah.
So what's that? That's positive reinforcement. Or something like that. Hey, I look in the Word of God, I see something. He said, don't be provoking one another with old stories like that. And here's another thing, Christian. When you hear stories like that, don't be envying somebody else.
Right.
I'm glad when folks get new things. I'm glad when they get new suits, new cars, new houses. Some of you might get a new mother-in-law. Who knows? I mean, you might get all kinds of new things. I don't know. But I'm glad you get it. But when somebody else does better, thank God for that.
Yeah. Amen.
Listen, when it comes your time, you'll get your one.
Right.
I've always found that out. People don't. They don't understand this, but when the Bible says God sets one up and pushes another down and promotes one, God takes care of all that. That's even at the job. God takes care of it.
That's right.
That somebody said, they told me this, and I had to correct them. I said, I thank God we got a new leader in that God put there. I said, God put the last ones in.
That's right.
He's put every one of them in.
That's right.
So what have they done? They brought judgment on this country that God sent them here to bring judgment on us for.
Yep.
And listen to this. There's three letters you need to learn over the next 4 years. W-A-R.
Yep.
So why is that? Because somehow or another, our last guy that was going to stop all the wars and bring all the soldiers home didn't and started three more, and now we got seven going right now. Why is the news reporting all this stuff? That's okay. You won't have to worry about it no more. They said this morning that the current administration is not going to report through them no more. They're going to report to us.
Amen.
So what's that? Power to the people, baby.
Yep. Amen.
Listen to me very carefully. Don't be trying to envy somebody because of what they got.
Right.
Somebody said a while back because of the rules that the Russians do with the sodomites, they envied them. I don't. It's cold up there. I mean, it's cold and up north up there. It's way up yonder cold. I'd like to see all the folks say, yeah, we can take that cold. Go over there and take it.
Yep.
It's about 20 degrees colder than what you came from. It's bad up there.
Right.
I don't envy a thing they got.
Uh-huh.
And I had people tell me how hot it was down at the equator. Is it hot down there? Sure it is. It'll melt ice cubes in a cup down there. It's hot. Boy, I tell you, it's hot. I don't envy a thing they got down there. I'll just stay here where it's kind of we get a little bit of both in the same week.
Yeah.
Listen. Be content where God puts you and quit envying everything out there. Walk in the Spirit. See, when you got problems and troubles arise in your life, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit of God. Quit trying to do this yourself. You can't get it done. Walk in the Spirit of God. He can take care of you and take care of all that. And every problem you're going through, He let come your way. Why? He wants you to walk in the Spirit.
That's right.
What'll that do? That'll stop you from desiring vainglory. It'll stop you from provoking one another. And it'll stop you from envying one another.
Right.
Saddest thing I ever heard in my life is that people see somebody getting blessed and say, I wish somebody would do that for me. Maybe God ain't ready for you to handle it yet. And maybe
right.
You can't.
Right.
And God's waiting till you can.
Right.
I had a thing happen a while back. And somebody did something very nice for me, and I almost told it. And I thought, nope, if I tell somebody, they're going to want one too. They're going to want what little bit I have. They're going to want that too. They're going to get jealous. So I decided instead of telling anybody, I'd preach to you on walking and living in the Spirit of God where you can be blessed too.
Amen.
I found out something a while back. God loves us all the same. These people go around and say, I feel like God loves me more than everybody else. You're kidding yourself. God loves us all that same way.
Right.
It's an unconditional love. I've had people tell me because I've said certain things that I must not love them. Had somebody tell me the way I said something bothered them, how I said it. I only know two gears, stop and go.
Yeah.
I know two ways to do it. Think about it and talk about it. That's it when I'm preaching. That's it. But I know this much. When you walk in the Spirit, it don't matter how the mail comes. You love to see the mail when it comes off the page.
Right. Amen.
I have a mailman that I swear he's afraid of the weather. I know he's afraid of my little dog that's this big. She looks ferocious. That hair stands up on her back that far. If we have her out, he'll pass us by. True story. But I've noticed if it's a little bit of rain, I can count on it. Ain't no mail coming today. So how you know I ain't delivering it? Because the next day I get 3 days worth of junk mail.
No.
I get Tuesday's coupons on Wednesday. So how you know they're dated? I miss my Hardee's thing because of that. How cruel to do that to somebody. Free steak biscuit yesterday. How awful.
Yeah.
May God smite them hip and thigh for being like that. Hardy sent it out in time, but that little bit of rain just got him. Say, listen to this. If he was your mailman, you'd be calling up every time, y'all need to far him. Not fire him, far him. That means really get rid of him. That guy's listening. Erase his name off the paper like he never worked there. Why do people get like that? Because they let every little circumstance make them a big old fat drama queen, and they just don't know what to do with themselves. You know what walking in the Spirit do for you? It'll help you realize it all revolves around Jesus.
Yeah.
It's all about Him.
Right.
It's all about Him.
Right.
Hey, listen. Walk in the Spirit. Live in the Spirit. It's just two simple instructions. This ain't hard. You know it's hard trying to not do it.
Right.
Hey, you want to live for Jesus? Walk in the Spirit, live in the Spirit. Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we love you.